Well, this morning, we're going to look at how gratitude doesn't just change your perspective for the better, but our gratitude is the natural result of being a Christian. Christians should be grateful. This is a big deal. In fact, I am so excited about today's message because I am really convinced that if people who follow the Lord could really see the goodness of the Lord, if only we could just lift up our eyes for a minute and see what's true, it would change you. You'd be more thankful, you'd be more hopeful, and I'm convinced that gratitude would give you more resilience for whatever life might throw at you. Now let me start with sort of maybe an unlikely example of how gratitude gives you perspective. Several years ago now, the writer Stephen King was in a horrible, horrible car accident. He was just walking on a country road not too far from where he was staying, when a driver of a van was distracted by a dog who was barking in the back of his car. He veered off the road and struck King, throwing him over the van's windshield into a ditch, and he just barely missed hitting his head on a rocky ledge. He almost died, and he ends up in the hospital in the ICU with a bunch of broken bones, a collapsed lung, broken ribs, and a scalp laceration. In other words, he was bleeding a lot from his head. Now, Stephen King, I'm not going to tell you to read his books, but he's a famous author, a horror author. He writes and thinks a lot about broken bones and accidents and blood and all sorts of things. So everyone wanted to know, what does someone who talks about this for a living say when he's looking at blood coming down his own face? So everyone is wondering, what is he going to say? What sort of clever words will he learn about experiencing horror firsthand? And the interviewers were shocked with what he said. What he said was all he could think about in those horror-filled moments was, he said one word, gratitude. He's not a Christian, he's not a theologian really, but when his life was nearly lost, he saw something that shocked everybody. He saw clearly no other explanation than God's goodness. And he was just so thankful that he didn't die. It's a weird story because you read a non-Christian answer, he used the exact words. It was, quote, God's grace that I didn't die on that ledge. And he talks about how gratitude actually pushed him all the way through the recovery process. It gave him hope to go through the really difficult steps ahead. And gratitude pushed him. And that's a story from the introduction of a groundbreaking book written several years ago on what's called The New Science of Gratitude. It's by Dr. Robert Emmons, and it's a fascinating and really interesting non-Christian scientific look at some of the newer studies about how human beings are just happier, more resilient, better addressed to go through chaos and crises when they are, of all things, grateful. It's fascinating to me. And he has it's an interesting book, a lot of peer-reviewed scientific research, and he makes his conclusion at the end that I soon discovered that gratitude, of all things, is a deeper, more complex phenomenon that plays a critical role in human happiness. Gratitude, he says, is, quote, literally one of the few things that can measurably change people's lives. That should get everyone's attention, I think. And then he spends about another 240 or so pages talking about all the scientific research behind that proposition and talks about all the positive health effects and how being grateful of all things helps your physical, emotional, all sorts of health. Lots of data that kind of gets lost in. But you probably didn't need 100 peer-reviewed studies. Sometimes studies done by science just shine a spotlight on what God has designed for people all along. I mean, scientific proof is what he offers for what the Bible has claimed all along. I mean, you just have to read the Bible. The Bible claims that gratitude is what you were designed for. It is the end result of living your life for Jesus. You were designed for thankfulness. I'm just going to give you one example today. It's from the book of Colossians, chapter 2. I'm going to read a bunch of verses and unpack them for a little bit. Here's the main one. This is what Paul writes. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. We'll talk about that. Continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now let me unpack this for a second. This is a big claim. The Apostle Paul starts by talking about what it means to be a Christian. And you'll see phrases like, live your life in him. That's a short-term summary for all the metaphors Paul's already used in this powerful letter. Paul's talked about your life as a Christian like a walk, one step at a time. He's already talking in Colossians about you being a member of the body of Christ, which baptism symbolizes for us. It talks about being family in Colossians. You see this line, I underline it, received Christ Jesus as Lord, which implies that Jesus is your boss. You've decided to follow Christ. You live your life each step for Jesus. And here's what Paul says it's like. If you're following Christ, look at how he describes it. You're rooted. It's a plant metaphor. You're stable. You're like a tree with strong roots that a storm can't knock over. You're, what does it say, built up. That's a construction metaphor. It's saying that when you follow Christ, you're like a strong structure as a human. You're like Jesus' parable of a wise man who builds his house on a rock. You see the language of strengthened in faith, which is say as you walk with Christ, you get stronger and more resilient as you grow in your faith because what you learned, well, what you've been taught. And when that's true, when all of this verse is true, when Jesus is your Lord, when you're saying, Jesus, I may not understand what's going on, but I'll follow wherever you lead me. When that's you, when your life is strengthened through faith, when you really, really trust God's word and your faith gets stronger, and that looks like all the normal things, like asking hard questions and struggling with doubt and tension and the ups and downs of life, when that's you, something changes. You start getting filled up to the point of overflowing with something. Now here's a question. When you're following Christ and growing, what do you look like? How do people describe you? How do people, well, describe you? Someone say it. You're overflowing with what? Thankfulness. That's really not fair because you got the answer key up here. I sort of did this wrong. It's too late to do the experiment. But what if you didn't have that bottom line on the screen? What if we had to fill in a blank and your assignment was to look at other Christians, to watch them, and you had to say, Christians look like they're overflowing, they're full of, how do you fill in the blank? I wonder if you'd ask, I mean, even most Christians, how do you describe this line? Christians are overflowing with what? I mean, I don't know what you come up with first. I'll bet if I had to guess, you'd say, I'll bet you could find people who said Christians are full of opinions. They're full of nervousness about the future. Christians are full of anger about whatever. Christians are full of nostalgia. Or I know a lot of people just say Christians are full of it. Like, let's be honest. If you asked most of the watching world what Christians are overflowing with, I don't want to do the experiment right now, but I said our shame. I bet you find a lot of fill-in-the-blank answers before you get the one on the answer key. Christians should be full of. In fact, they should be so characterized by this one thing that it should overflow. Either every action, word, and deed. Say it, they should be overflowing with louder. Right? Why is that not the case? Why aren't more Christians known for being thankful? Now, you don't have to guess because Paul actually offers some reasons. Let me just very carefully read the next couple verses that say exactly why Christians aren't more thankful. You may not like it. I don't like it, but this is the Bible here. If I had to give an answer, if you asked me why aren't more Christians thankful, I'd probably say, well, we're not overflowing with thanksgiving because I mean, these are hard times, right? Have you seen the news? Have you seen the cost of groceries? I might even say thankfulness in this economy, right? But these aren't any of the things that Paul warns us against. Here's what the Bible warns us against that have the potential to rob you of your gratitude. Verse 8, the next verse. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. In other words, let's unpack this. This is terrifying to me. Maybe, he posits, maybe you're not thankful because your head's in the wrong place. Maybe your head's in the wrong place because you became a captive to deceptive, hollow ideas that Paul blames on elemental spiritual forces, which I'm not positive what that means. But Paul says, long story short, if you're not thankful, maybe it's because you're hostage to wrong ideas, and maybe there's some spiritual things going on where deep down you forget what's real. So Paul tells us, well, how to get free from this captivity. The key from having your head in the wrong place kept captive is, well, talking about Jesus. He says, in Jesus, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In Christ, he says, you have been brought to fullness. He, Christ, is the head over every power and authority. In other words, sometimes we're not thankful because we forgot how big Jesus is. And Jesus, it says, is the fullness. He brings you to fullness. I think, what's the opposite of overflowing with thankfulness? I'm not good with grammar. Maybe, I don't know, empty with entitlement, poor with complaint. I mean, the Bible says if you're a Christian, it means you're rich, you're full of God's blessings and grace, even if you can't see it in the moment. The next verse, it talks about the gospel. It talks about the fact that Jesus changes you somehow in a powerful divine way. In him, Paul writes, you're also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you're circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, which you're also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You know, I wish I could just spend the rest of the sermon unpacking this passage, but I will say this is one of the reasons why our theological connects Old Testament circumcision and the inclusion of God's people to the New Testament practice of baptism. You can see a link here. And for Paul, it is a symbol of God changing you, that God gets rid of the parts of you that keep you captive. Baptism is a symbol of the power of the resurrection of Christ that changes us somehow. And Paul tells the story of every Christian. Like, this is what God does in you when you were dead in your sins and then in the uncircumcision of your flesh. I mean, this is what God did. God made you alive with Christ. Here's your story. He forgave us all our sins. He canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He took it all away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the power of the cross. In other words, if you're a Christian that's not grateful, maybe it's because you forgot what Jesus did. You were dead. God made you alive. You were poor and you received God's riches. You had a debt you could not pay in guilt and sin, and Jesus paid it off by the sacrifice of the cross. And Paul wonders, I think, if the reason that we're so entitled or full of complaint has nothing to do with our circumstances, but everything to do with the fact that we have forgot how much God has blessed us. And when we forget, we are vulnerable to fears, what Paul calls philosophies of deception, that make us feel fearful we're more entitled than we are, or more poor than we actually are, because we have forgotten about the riches of Christ. This isn't one verse. This is a giant theme in the Bible. Christians should be thankful. Christians have been people who can look at the news, the things in their life, the ups and downs, and can look at everything around them with thankful colored glasses, because that's what the world is actually like. We find just even in the book of Colossians, I'm going to read a bunch of verses. This is Colossians chapter 1. We always thank God. We should thank God. I could read the rest of it, but you get the point. Or Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you are called in one body. So which raises questions, what would it possibly mean to let the peace of Christ rule in my heart? Well, what does it look like to be called? What does it look like? It looks like, look at the next words, and be thankful. That's what it looks like, right? To be a Christian ruled by the Lord. To have God rule in your heart makes you look thankful. Or Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And most people stop right there. We stop at the comma and go, okay, I will work to the glory of God. I'll do it in Jesus' name. And then we sort of guess what that means. Let me tell you exactly what it means to do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. It looks like giving thanks. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's a big deal, right? Whatever you do, if you're talking, if you're acting, if you're eating a meal, if you're tying your shoes, do it with the mindset of gratitude. God, thank you for your gifts to me. How's the book end? Colossians 4:2, continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with, tell me what it says, thanksgiving. Continue steadfastly. See any patterns here? Christianity should look an awful lot like gratitude. Maybe that's because deep down, faith is a recognition that everything we have comes from the Lord. If you're able to wake up this morning and breathe, if you've got oxygen going in your lungs, it is little but a gift from the Lord. And when we do what we do, when we respond to God's blessing with anything other than gratitude, in those moments, maybe it's because you don't really see how much you depend on the Lord for everything. The fact is, if you could change that, if you could do what Scripture says a bunch of times, you'd become a more consistent, more realistic, more resilient person. Now, how do you start? Let me just give you two words from Dr. Emmon in his book. The first word is recognition. The second word is acknowledgement. Here's how you start. This is how you be more thankful. Recognize. Start with what you see. You know what gratitude is? Gratitude is looking at the goodness all around you. Especially when you're like in a downward spiral, you start by counting your blessings. Look at what you've got. And when you do, you'll often find more to be thankful for than you think. That's a first step. It's a discipline, and you should do it. The second step is acknowledging that your blessing came from somewhere. Saying the word thanks implies you're thanking somebody, right? Gratitude makes you stop navel-gazing and cause you to look up and out and wonder to what you owe things. That's one reason why gratitude is so hard, because gratitude is humbling. It forces you to admit that you are the beneficiary of someone else's kindness. Like, what you have isn't all up to you. You owe to the gifts of other people. You also have to admit that gifts cost the giver something. I mean, the fact that we don't have guilt is because of the price of Christ paid on the cross. The fact that we have blessing comes from the Lord. Gratitude comes from humility, that we didn't build everything ourselves. We could not do it without the help of another. In fact, sometimes many others. Gratitude brings humility because it starts by recognizing that in a world where it's possible for so many bad things to happen to us, I mean, We all have good, enjoyable things in our lives. We're all blessed, and we don't realize it. You know what would help us? I mean, I almost can't imagine what differences we'd see for the lives of us and Christians if we could just rediscover gratitude. But I think you should give it a shot. Being thankful, pausing to recognizing, taking the initiative to acknowledge isn't just a good idea. I think it is exactly what God has called us to do. Gratitude is the essence of faith. It's a reason why we worship. And it is a perspective that ushers in joy and helps you become rooted, built up, and stronger as a person blessed by God Himself. So, Father in heaven, could you remind us of your grace and your goodness in those moments where we become so depressed by comparison, where we get so anxious and we get kind of just getting a downward spiral? Can you remind us of both your greatness and your profound kindness to us? Help us to repent of all the times and all the different ways we've taken your blessings for granted. And Father, can you help us to follow you? May we praise you, the sovereign Lord, which means we're willing to put everything in your hands. Can we adore you? Can we sing? Can we just think about the grace that comes from your throne? May we live our lives even in the middle of suffering and difficulty and enemies in the praise and thankfulness that comes from seeing you. Oh Lord, I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.